right, here we are in Bloomington. Ask the Mayor. Thanks again, John Hamilton, for having us today.
Good to see you, Joe, always.
I was able to stop by the Taste of Bloomington this weekend. I hear it was a huge success.
You know, it is one of the great events of Bloomington. We enjoy it. Thousands of people came out, I think about 12,000 people. The weather cooperated pretty well, and it's a wonderful community gathering and celebration. So I'm glad you got to enjoy it.
So going into some of the news that's been going on, I-69 finally being taken over by the state, announced Friday. About time, you think?
Joe, I really have to take a deep breath before I talk about this subject. Yes, I've been asking for, ever since I've been in this seat as mayor, that it seemed to me critical that the state step in and take over this project. Governor Pence failed in this effort to privatize and outsource the construction. We've known it wasn't working for a long time. The road should have been completed now, 9 months ago. And finally, after a lot of us, many of us saying, my goodness, this is not working. The construction is not getting done. The timing is, the details are not available. It's opaque. Nobody can know what's going on. Finally, I do want to thank Commissioner McGinnis and Governor Holcomb for stepping in and taking it back. It should have been done a long time ago. The safety is a real issue. It concerns me every day. But finally, the state has accepted the fact that this private partnership didn't work and have taken it back.
Mm-hmm. Have you, and I know it's only been a few days, but have you had a chance to talk with NDOT or anyone just regarding their dedication to this project?
I've spoken with the NDOT commissioner, the transportation commissioner for the state, who's a former mayor, and I appreciate he reached out to me, tries to keep us not getting surprised, and I appreciate that. I expressed my concern that the people on the job stay on the job, that they complete this project as quickly as possible, that they support the commitments to the four lanes, two lanes each way, being open as soon as possible. And you know, this takeover already has meant a 3-month additional delay projected. In my experience, I've never seen those delays get shorter. I've seen them get longer a number of times, so I'm concerned about that. But I think it's in the right place now, which is to have NDOT finish building this road to Martinsville. They still have another stretch to go from Martinsville up to 465, of course.
Something else new, this past week or so, you had a press conference about the initiative of the Downtown Safety, Civility, and Justice Task Force. They gave you some final recommendations, although there have already been directives and parts that are moving forward. What are some of the steps the city is starting to take now?
Well, Joe, you know, all three of those words are important, and I'll repeat them, because it's about safety, it's about civility, and it's about justice. We want this community, my residents want this community to be a community that is safe and that is civil and that is just for all of us who are here. It's a complicated problem. We have extraordinary new pressures from opioid addictions and the invasion of these drugs that are just devastating to so many families. We have continuing impacts from mental illness and poverty, of course. And we see that we're a community like communities around the country. We see the impact of that on our streets. We've seen our parks affected. We've seen our workforce affected. And we've begun steps. I started this really in an organized way last summer. We've done a number of things, whether it's cameras to provide more safety protection, whether it's more eyes on the street to kind of help make people know we're aware of what's going on and help people get to the resources if they need it. The latest recommendations are, I think there are 7 or 8 of them, and I won't go through them all, but they really range in those three categories of safety, making sure this city is safe for everybody. It needs to be safe for the high school student going to the library or buying an ice cream. It needs to be safe for the person who doesn't have much money who's trying to make it here in town. It needs to be safe for everybody. It also needs to be just, and that means everybody's treated fairly and gets a fair shake here. And we got a lot of work to do. Outdoor toilets is something we're thinking about, more eyes on the street. We're doing an employment program, trying to help clean up the parks, a whole range of things. And As I've said, a couple things. This isn't getting fixed overnight. Poverty, drugs, mental illness are issues that have been rising and have a lot of causes. So it's not going to get done overnight. And second, we got to try stuff. We're going to be trying a bunch of different things. Some of them are going to work and some of them aren't going to work. And we just need to keep trying things and try to get to the place where we have more good days and fewer bad days as a community, and where each person here has more good days and fewer bad days. And I think we're headed that direction, but we have a lot of work to do.
I think the one area that we see or can actually see some results in some way would be the People's Park area. I think that's kind of that area where more police have been on duty and the park has seems to be more or less populated. Is that helping the problem or is it moving the problem?
Well, yeah, it's interesting, Joe. You know, the police, and we've taken a few experiments to have more public official presence there. We also done more programming, more concerts and other things. No one is asked to leave a park, and certainly not ordered to leave a park, unless you are committing a crime, or there's a warrant for your arrest, or there's a very short list of people who are not allowed in city parks because of past behavior. But everyone is welcome in a city park. Today, tomorrow, yesterday. If you behave badly, you know, there will be consequences to that. So it's interesting that as we kind of made sure that's the case, that park has changed just in the last few days, and there's more people eating ice cream from the store next door or stopping in to eat their lunch over lunch hour, fewer people spending all day there. But I think that's going to evolve. That's a people's park. It belongs to everybody, and everybody's welcome there.
You know, I see where city leaders saved about $3 million last year by not spending their full budget. And so this year, they got to spend half of what they saved, which is a new directive.
It is. Joe, I'm really happy. You know, we have a cabinet of about 15 people, and each of them leads a department. And last year, we made the deal in the budget that said, look, here's the budget, and the council passed it. And we said, if you don't spend every dollar, in the old system, you lost it all. All went back to the general fund, and then they all had to scrap and argue for getting anything back. This year we said, for every dollar that you don't spend because you figured out how to be more efficient or do things a little smarter, 50 cents of it, you just get. It's yours. There are limits on what you can do with it, but the goal is to let them maybe buy a piece of equipment that they wanted, or go to a training session that they wanted to do, or help facilitate education of their workforce, or do a new program. So I'm really happy, and just about almost $1 million went right back to those department heads, and I want to do the same this year.
I was wondering if you could give us maybe a little update on the parking meters. Every now and then you kind of, you know, we haven't talked about it in a while, yeah. But you still see some issues pop up. I know we're getting close, not there yet, of actually paying off the meters, and we're just wondering what's the latest.
You know, it's funny, just a week or so ago, I was coming into the office and I saw a guy he looked kind of frustrated at a parking meter and he was staring at it, and I stopped and went over and I said, hey, is that working? He said, man, I just put some money in and it didn't register. And I said, well, listen, you know, we'll take care of it. I appreciate it. And he's like looking at me like, who are you? And I said, I'm the mayor. He's like, oh, okay, well, that's good. He turned out to be an IU police officer off duty. And he was very gracious about it. So you know, it's been over a year, and we worked with the company that was hired by the previous administration to install these to get this fixed. I'm not confident yet that they've got it fixed. We still have meters that aren't working. We are digging deep into this issue to figure out what we need to do about it. I don't have any announcements about it right now, but it is fair to say that I'm not satisfied yet with the system that we have. Parking meters make people mad enough. We don't need to make them mad by not working. So we're still addressing it and trying to, the meters that were bought were used meters, and we kind of paid the least we could, the old administration, and I'm afraid that system is not working as well as it should yet. So we're still digging in to see how we can fix that. It's better, but it's not where it needs to be.
Well, and then part of the issue, or part of having the meters, was to help with flow and parking and that downtown, maybe directing more people to the parking garages. So there's also a bigger type of city-wide reason of having the meters, and there's a newer commission that started, was it just this past year or two, that's looking into that?
There is a commission, a citizen commission, that's looking into that, and that's helpful. I also think we will be doing a pretty intensive, comprehensive parking study that's going to look at the meters, the parking lots, and the parking structures, the parking garages, and really analyzing where are we. It's a complex system, and we need to be careful if we pull a string here that we don't, you know, cause something over there. But we're getting there.
Mm-hmm. I see the city comprehensive plan comes up Monday for approval?
Yes, at the Plan Commission.
At the Plan Commission. So is it where it needs to be and ready to move forward, or what's the latest?
Well, that is a big thing. Again, that's something that I inherited that had, we really should do these every 10 years, and we're out about 16 years, I think. So we've pushed to get this done. The Plan Commission's been working very hard, May and June, to review a 100-page document that really sets out what do we want the built environment of Bloomington to be like next year, 5 years from now, 25 years from now. They've been scrutinizing it, and there have been scores of amendments proposed. Our planning staff has worked very hard on it. I hope it will pass on Monday the 26th from the Plan Commission, then it goes to City Council for their hearings, and we expect those in the fall. And this is a big deal. Now, I will say this about the plan document, that comprehensive plan. The way I describe it is we need to keep it in a three-ring binder because it can't be fixed in stone for 10 years. We got to be able to pull a sheet out and put a new one in because life changes. Things move fast. And this is an important document, and we need to get it right as we can now. But we also have to recognize we can't predict everything. We got to be ready to keep evolving.
Kind of going along with that, I see that the Trades District is moving forward. Just in the Herald Times today, a big article about, is it TOSIS?
Yep.
Starting TOSIS. To move forward on their plans. Can you give us an update?
Sure. So, you know, the Trades District is this area that the city bought several years back to focus job growth. And one of the things I've said is it needs to focus on job growth, not other things. And this center area of the Trades District between 10th and 11th and between Morton and Rogers is really the core of the employment opportunities. And we're very pleased that TOSIS, our local company, is putting their North American headquarters as well as a research and engineering building right in the middle. Employment, new employment, and high-tech employment. That in combination with the Dimension Mill, both of which should get going next year, physically built, and the Dimension Mill we think should be done next year, will really help build momentum in that. You know, our economy is changing. We don't make elevators anymore. We don't make furniture like we did in the building I'm sitting in. We don't make color televisions. And we need to be evolving with the new economy, and this is part of that strategy.
Have there been any plans or anything that we can take a look at for the design or that use of that space, or is that kind of go as needed?
So the overall layout of that Trades District, the physical, the streets, the sidewalks, the scape, the look of it all, is available online. People can look at that. Also the Dimension Mill building, which is one of the old showers buildings, which we're going to restore, historic building. The designs for that have been shared. TOSIS, which of course is a private company, I don't think has put out their design yet on that building, but we'd look forward to see that in the next few months. They'll have to go in front of the Plan Commission to get that approved, but that should be happening in the months ahead.
And then what about any construction on that layout? Was that something that the city will move forward on soon? Or?
Yes, I think you'll see yet this season, if you will, some work on the roads, the water, the infrastructure that will lay out that Trades District. And I think that's going to really get people excited. It's going to be a really important new opportunity for folks.
And that's already happening over at the park.
At the Switchyard.
Switchyard,
yes,
Park,
Joe.
Yeah.
We just this week, I think, have the first dirt being turned for that beautiful new park. It's interesting. Technically, the first thing that's going to be done is we got to reroute the beeline for just a little while some infrastructure, big sewer lines go in. But that construction is beginning this year. Next year will be full guns bore, you know, full bore going construction on that park.
and the sanitation changes are moving forward, and if you haven't picked out a receptacle yet, you need to do so, right?
Yes, you're right, Joe. There's a lot going on. I hope we've gotten about 2/3 of our residents have specified which size containers they want, both for their trash, their sanitation, plus their recycling. You can pick different sizes, small, medium, large, and most of our residents have done so. And if you don't do so, you'll get automatically assigned to the middle size.
Before we go, I wanted to get a quick update too on the annexation lawsuit that happened to be announced just days after we had our last show.
Yes.
So it wasn't included in that, but I thought it's important to have it kind of here on record in terms of any progress or anything that has changed since about a month ago.
Yeah, Joe, let me say, you know, annexation is always a complicated and can be stressful issue for people, and Bloomington hadn't done any annexation for 12 years. And we'd grown a lot. And so as a community, we were in the middle of the legal process to review annexation. As you probably know, the state legislature in the 11th hour in the dark of night basically passed a law that said, Bloomington, and only Bloomington, your annexation is terminated and you cannot annex anything you were planning to for another 5 years. Our constitution in the state says any law that's passed has to be of general applicability. It does not allow special laws that affect only one person or one community. So the lawsuit we filed several weeks ago, it's not really about annexation. It's really about protecting the right of a community to be treated fairly and to be treated as every other community is treated. And I frankly think if the Constitution of the state means anything on that issue, it should protect us here, because that bill was designed exclusively to terminate Bloomington's annexation process, which we spent a lot of money on following all the rules that the state set. So we filed that lawsuit locally. There was an issue to get the right judge, and that judge has now been set for that lawsuit. The state has asked for extra time to answer, which probably they will be given. And so over the next few months, we're going to get to make the case that says, look, if the city of Bloomington is following the laws that the state sets out, it's not kosher to have the state legislature single Bloomington out and say, we're changing the law to affect you and stopping you from following the law. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I'm sorry I had to do it. I'm going to be meeting with the governor and talking about it in a few weeks because I think it is important to protect the rights and prerogative of the community to follow the law and determine our own future.